Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the Minute Waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but around the world, but also to welcome to the programme four dynamic, exciting players of this game. And they are, seated on my right, Paul Merton and Julian Clary, and seated on my left, Graham Norton, and joining us, Terry Wogan. Will you please welcome all four of them? And as usual, I'm going to ask them to speak on a subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Beside me sits Sarah Sharp. She's going to help me with the score. She's going to blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And, Graham, we'd like you to begin the show.
Yes.
We have here something which applies to you and applies to others, I'm sure. National treasures. Will you talk on national treasures starting now?
As I look around this beautiful dais, it is as if I've wandered into the national treasures department of IKEA. All a little cut price and flat pack, but national treasures nonetheless. I turned to Sir Terry Wogan, who, like myself, was driven out of Ireland along with the snakes and the Polish people. Here and wormed his way into the hearts and affections of this great nation. Oh,
Terry challenged.
I just find that offensive.
I was being nice.
Not to the Poles.
I thought it was very complimentary, actually.
Yeah, but. Yeah,
right. So it was an incorrect challenge, Graham.
You have
a point for that.
For you. I thought I'd give you a point. You did so badly the last time.
Thank you. I'm not proud. I'll take them.
Terry Wogan was then referring to the fact that these four have played in another show altogether, which wasn't, of course, with this audience. It was some time ago. Graham, an incorrect challenge. You have a point for that, and you have national treasures as a subject, and you have 32 seconds starting now.
The greatest national treasure here today must, of course, be the whistle, the just-a-minute instrument that blows so loudly and forcefully at the end of 60 seconds. Sarah is...
Terry challenge.
Excessive pausing, I think.
I didn't hear what you said,
Mr. Kettle, I have a phone call.
So I'm afraid his chest has come back.
So what is the challenge, dear boy?
The challenge was, I've forgotten now, so... would that I could remember. Why not give him another point?
Well, you get another point if you can't remember, Terry.
Yeah, good. Yes.
Sorry, I must say this, you do play it in a way that no one else has ever played it before.
That's because I haven't the smallest idea what's going on. No.
Graham, you have another point and you have 17 seconds.
See?
And national treasures are starting now.
National treasures are...
Julian challenge.
Well, he messed up the word, so we'll call it deviation.
Yes.
I think
yes,
you're tired right. of the subject.
Right, yes. 15 seconds are available, Julian. A point to you, and you take over. National treasures are starting now.
I once climbed over a wall at the back of Buckingham Palace and found myself in the Queen's drawing room. Talk about national treasures there. On every surface and on the mantelpiece were bibelots and paintings and bonfires.
There's quite a bit of repetition in there.
Repetition of all.
Yes, and
hesitation.
Yes.
So, Paul, you've cleverly got in with 1 second to go. And you have national treasures starting now.
They should be buried at the bottom of the garden.
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. It was Paul Merton, so he's in the lead at the end of the round. And Julian Clary, we'd like you to begin the next round. Going on tour... I know you've been touring recently, but give us some of your inside information. You have 60 seconds to do it, starting now.
I love going on tour. Birth of a Lesbian picks me up from my house at about 10 o'clock in the morning. We set off on the open road, ending up in Ludlow or Birmingham or Cardiff. Then we set up the stage. I pop a bit of makeup, just a touch, around my face. When the time comes, I mince on and entertain the people. They all clap. And the dear friend that I mentioned earlier, whose name begins with B, then tosses me into the back of the car. And...
I thought
thought you said she was a lesbian. This seems to be rather cruel.
She tosses me into the back of the car. What's wrong with that?
I'm sorry, Julian, for a moment I thought you were guilty of a double entendre. I don't know what I was thinking of.
Paul, what is your challenge when the rules are just a minute?
Well, within the rules, none.
Oh, right.
I'd like an apology.
So, Julian has
like an apology?
You don't need an apology. Julian, you've got a point.
I thought I'd try.
And you've got the subject. 29 right, seconds, going on tour, starting now.
I also went to New Zealand.
Oh, Paul Turnton.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. Accepted.
Julian, 28 seconds, going on tour, starting now.
I also toured Australia and New Zealand. Do you know?
Graham Challenge.
Repetition of New Zealand.
Yes, but I'd started the sentence before and he interrupted with his...
I know.
I don't care.
But if you mentioned... If you've mentioned it before,
what's
you can't
it to
mention
me?
It again.
That's your fault, then.
Paul, you're challenged.
I'm sorry.
Graham, that was a correct challenge. You have a point for that. Going on tour, 25 seconds, starting now.
My favourite sort of tour to go on would be a wine tour. Ooh, delicious. Tasting in each vineyard as you travel from one to another. Sometimes the places...
Paul Jones.
Hesitation.
Not quite.
No, okay.
He was slowing down.
He was slowing down, wasn't he? And
I was getting there.
Dragging
could,
it out
I
a bit.
I could see it just around the corner.
So I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. Going on tour, 11 seconds.
It's not all
starting
that speed.
Starting now.
Going on tour is...
Julian Challenge.
Well, he was late, wasn't he? Hesitation.
He was late, but he still started after I said now. He didn't come in originally, but he did come in on the second time.
Well, I was...
On the now. No, once I said now, he was in there. This is becoming the most suggestive show I've ever done on radio. Graham, 10 seconds, going on tour, starting now.
Later this year, I'm going on tour with my mother around Alaska. She's already bought a rather expensive shrug for the chilly evenings. I expect to...
So Graham Norton was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so. He's taken the lead ahead of... Julian Clary and Paul Merton are equal in second place. Terry's bringing up the rear, and Terry, we'd like you to begin the next round.
Thank God.
No, we've already heard from you.
Oh?
We'd like you to talk
so
in this
long
game.
Ago, I'd forgotten.
The subject is a figure of speech, starting now.
Figures of speech are fairly familiar to an educated group such as I see before me here, and indeed yourself. Figures of speech can be litotes. They can be onomatopoeia. They can be all manner...
Julian, challenge.
Repetition of they can be.
They can be, yes. They can be.
Sorry.
They can be. That's all right. No, don't apologise. We love having you on the show. Julian, you have the subject of figure of speech, 41 seconds, starting now.
If I said there was light at the end of the tunnel, I wouldn't mean...
Paul, challenge.
Hesitation.
That was a hesitation. Yes, Paul, another point to you. 36 seconds available. A figure of speech starting now.
A stitch in time saves nine. This advice was given to a mother of eight who wanted to...
Graham Challenge.
So, some form of hesitation, I feel.
It was.
Yes.
Were you trying to repeat one of Max Miller's jokes? One of his jokes was... A woman of eight sat up late sewing her husband's pyjamas... A stitch in time saves nine.
That was it.
Correct challenge to you, Graham. A figure of speech, 30 seconds, starting now.
Bless his cotton socks is a figure of speech, and it relates back to a bishop in Calcutta who gave said garments to chilly people in the streets. And oddly, his name was the thing that the other items... It was never going to be terribly clear, that story.
No, I identified that as hesitation.
Yes, indeed it was, Terry. Yes. Correct challenge. So you have the subject.
But isn't that interesting? He was Bishop Cotton.
Is that no, where it comes from?
Oh. Bishop Cotton.
Really?
Right. Yeah. Oh, right. Thank you.
Oh, well.
So, in fact, the socks mightn't have been cotton at all.
No, right.
They were just Bishop's cotton socks. Mm. They could have been wool.
Yeah.
Acrylic, anything.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't really matter.
Yeah, really.
Terry.
It's a feast for the mind, isn't it?
Terry, the subject is... A figure of speech. You have 11 seconds starting now.
The subject of figure of speech, which we've been listening to here, seem to be phrases. These are not figures of speech. These are mere repetition.
Well, Terry Wogan was then speaking when the whistle went, gained that extra point, and he's moved forward. He's still in fourth place, but he's moved forward. But he's only just behind Julian Clary and Paul Merton and Graham Norton in that ascending order. Paul, we're with you to begin. The subject is my disastrous trip to the zoo. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
It was only when I discovered two mating penguins in the airing cupboard that I recalled my disastrous trip to the zoo that had happened 4 days before. It had seemed like a nice family outing. Mother, father, my sister decided all to go to the zoological gardens to inquire over the health of the various beasts that were there imprisoned. And as I walked through the thoroughfare, I saw giraffes to my left, and on my right there were the elephants. And I thought to myself, is there any way these two species can be brought together in harmony to show us, the human being, the way of the world, that somehow we can live in peace and harmony if we see these two? This is too important for this program. So I was one away there. What happens?
Julian, you challenge.
Repetition of live.
Yes.
Oh, right, yes.
You did have the live before, yes.
Yes.
Julian has a correct challenge, gets a point, and he has my disastrous trip to the zoo, 19 seconds, starting now.
I once took a three-year-old child... Right.
Oh, dear, it's catching, isn't it? Hesitation.
Yes, you've got it back again, Paul. So you've got 16 seconds, my disastrous trip to the zoo, starting now.
I was given the keys and told to lock up. I had no idea that polar bears would find the Tottenham Court Road so attractive after midnight. You would have seen the reports on news at 10. Antelopes gently walking down Oxford Street, perusing the shoe shops and saying to the antelopes...
So Paul Merton was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's now equal in the lead with Graham Norton. Julian's just behind them, and then Terry Wogan. And Graham, we'd like you to begin the next round. Being framed. You can take it any way you like by being framed. I don't know whether you ever have been framed.
I don't think
Maybe
so.
You've been in a picture or something?
No, I don't
framed,
think so.
Right?
Oh, don't go on.
60 seconds are starting now.
Being framed must be awful, knowing you're innocent and yet unable to prove it. I remember an episode of Midsummer Murders once where a lady who worked in the many tea rooms in that area...
Terry Challenge.
I thought hesitation over many there, I thought.
I just stressed it a little. Because there are many, many tea rooms in the Midsummer area. Have you watched the programme?
Everybody knows that. Yes.
They are the main consumer of doilies.
Terry, I think it was a very sharp challenge. I think I have to give Graham the benefit of the doubt.
I think
it,
you do.
It was his own...
I'm terribly sorry.
His own figure of speech, actually, the way he speaks. And he's...
Sorry, Graham.
47 seconds, Graham. Being framed is starting now.
Being framed is something you do to pictures or photographs if you want to arrange them attractively on a wall. Sometimes you'll put a large one in the middle and then smaller ones to the left or the...
Julian Challenge.
Oh, I think it was incorrect. I was going to say repetition.
Of what?
Oh, I was hoping you wouldn't ask. It was one and then it was ones. Yeah. So
that's,
I
it was
stand
one
corrected.
And then ones.
Okay.
Yes, that's okay. It. It wasn't repetition.
How many seconds are left now, Nicholas?
You still have 34 seconds.
34 of them. Not even halfway.
Well,
are you glad that's over?
Well, you started with the subject, you see, and you've still got it, being framed, starting now.
Being framed is a great thing to do if you have old newspapers, perhaps, in your house. At the back of that drawer, you haven't seen them in years, and then you retrieve them. Fascinating stories are contained within, and you think to yourself, to the framers I shall go. They are being framed, you can collect them in a fortnight. Why so long? It's a big thing, they explain. Glass will be required, and also timber, angular bits of wood to surround them.
So Graham Norton was speaking as the whistle and gained that extra point for doing so, and that hasn't happened for a time. He started with the subject, and though he was interrupted twice, he finished with the subject.
And I'm sweating.
You got all the points in that round, Graham, and you're now in the lead ahead of all the others. Julian, we'd like you to begin the next round. Ooh, innuendo. I don't know whether you know very much about that subject, but 60 seconds are available. Start now.
Where would the world be without innuendo, or indeed my career? To begin my act by walking on stage and saying there's nothing I like more than a warm hand upon my entrance. Warm the audience up and get them in the mood for more, because indeed there's a lot of stuff where that came from, which will be forthcoming should you purchase a ticket to my show. Innuendos, in my opinion, began in the bordellos of America. They used to sing songs like I need a little sugar in my...
Terry Challenge.
Hesitation.
That was a hesitation, yes.
Need, I think.
Well, listen, Terry.
Yes.
Gosh, you're getting the feel of this game now, aren't you? Right. So, right, you've got a good challenger, and you've got 27 seconds. You tell us something about innuendo, starting now.
I know nothing of innuendo, although I rely upon it freely when I'm on the radio with stories of Janet and John, tales of simple folk that people misinterpret as having nasty meanings, and I won't repeat the word that you have been already using, because I don't know what I'm talking about.
I'm just interrupting to say you can say innuendo again.
Yes.
The subject you can repeat.
It's too late.
Okay.
I'm sorry, David.
Now the mood is gone. Sorry, love.
Yes, you can repeat the subject on the card as often as you like. Well, not as often as
now
you like.
Now you tell me.
No. 2 seconds ago on innuendo, starting now.
Innuendo.
Terry Challenge.
You told me that too late. I could have gone on for another 2 seconds.
So, Graham, you have the subject. You have 1 second. Innuendo, starting now.
Innuendos.
So, Graham Norton was again speaking to whistle when gained an extra point with others in the round. He's now got a strong lead ahead of the others. Paul Merton, Julian Clary, and Terry Wogan in that order. And, Terry, we'd like you to begin the next round. I don't know whether this applies in any way, but try and talk on it. Skeletons in my cupboard. There are 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
There are no skeletons in my cupboard. There are no skeletons in the entire Wogan family. We are well filled out in the Wogans. There are not even any thin people. We do not watch what we eat, and so therefore we will never be skinny enough to be skeletons. There are also no scandals within my family. You have never seen me across the tabloids, or you have never seen me across the broadsheets, because I keep myself to myself. I do not...
Junior Challenge.
Best not to repeat myself.
But it's a phrase.
I know,
it's,
but
it's a phrase.
It's a lovely
myself
phrase.
To myself.
Yeah.
Julian, correct challenge. 22 seconds for you. Skeletons in my cupboard, starting now.
There are skeletons in my cupboard, I have to confess. About 20 years ago, I was married to a girl called Julie, and we lived in Birkenhead, and we've got 3 children. Now, I don't talk about this very often, because obviously my career is based on the fact that I'm a renowned homosexual, a stranger to a woman's intimate parts. But... you know, I don't mind talking about it now.
Right. So Julian Clary was then speaking
well,
as a whistle went. Yes. More than out. About extra points, but still in second place, alongside Paul Merton and Terry Wogan's following little. Graham's out in the lead. And Paul, we'd like you to begin the next round. Close relations. Tell us something about close relations, starting now.
You can have close relations with other people other than your family. When I look at Julian Clary, it remembers the time that we had close relations. It was some back in the 1980s, I think, towards the end of that decade when I started writing a television show with him called Sticky Moments that was enormously successful. Thank you for that round of applause. People still remember it as much as they did then. And close relations are very important when you're putting together some kind of project. You have to be able to sit in a room with somebody. If they are a co-writer, you have to be there across a desk, talking to each other, deciding what's going to be the funniest line. If you are in a position...
Julian Challenge.
It was repetition of have to.
Yes, you have to. Have to, have to.
But I was waiting, but it didn't turn out to be worth the wait.
No.
Julian, you have 23 seconds. Close relations are starting now.
I take close relations to refer to close relatives, and I've just spent the weekend with my parents. Not well, unfortunately. My mother is suffering from an ailment known as hot knees. I said, what do you know? She said, there's heat kind of emanating from between my thighs. Well, I reached my hand down, and indeed, well, you could toast muffins from it. My father took the dog round the block, and this Dalmatian...
Oh, Julian, the pictures you paint. But, Julian, you were speaking as a whistleblower and gained that extra point. And you're moving forward. You're catching up on Graham Norton, who's still in the lead. And you're just a little bit ahead of Paul Merton and Terry Wogan. Graham, it's your turn to begin. The subject is The Worst Book I Ever Read. 60 seconds, starting now.
The worst book I ever read is an embarrassing and slightly awkward subject to get in this room because it was written by someone on this stage. But I must name and shame them. Yes, it was My Life as a Whistleblower by Sarah. It was one of the dullest tomes it's ever been my misfortune to have to wade through.
Julian Shannon.
Repetition of ever.
Ever, yes. Oh, yes.
Goodness me.
Oh, wait a minute, it's in the title, The Worst Book I Ever Read.
Oh, hush my mouth.
Yes!
Well, poor Sarah's now blushing like mad. 29 seconds, an incorrect challenge. So, Graham, another point to you. The worst book I ever read, starting now.
The worst book I ever read, I suppose, needs to still be that volume I described earlier, because if I changed my mind, then I'd come across like a crazy person, and I don't want to do that. Far from it. In fact, I want to prove my sanity at all times. It's necessary, usually when driving.
Julian Challenge.
Would you accept deviation?
Why?
It's true. He's talking about losing his sanity, I believe, not about a book that he's read.
But it was relevant to the book, in my defence.
he was talking about this worst book, which I got the impression was contained within the book.
Yes.
I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, Graham.
Yes.
Another point, the worst book I ever read, Graham, starting now.
The dullest chapter was, of course, the one involving the pee falling out and rolling across a carpet.
So we're moving into the final round. Sir Terry Wogan, who's only played the game once before, he's lingering a little in fourth place there, but he's not very far behind Paul Merton, who's often out in the lead. And then comes Julian Clary. But out in the lead this week is Graham Norton. As we go into the final round, to be started by Julian Clary, the subject is dough. Julian, you have 60 seconds on dough, starting now.
I used to work in a bakery. In fact, I'm a self-raising man. And, of course, you need dough in that particular profession. I would knead it and pull it around and throw it over my shoulder. In fact, I had a gift.
Graham Challenge.
A repetition of in fact.
No.
In fact, I didn't need to... No. Anyone? Nah.
Right,
all right. kept very quiet about it.
48 seconds, Graham, on dough, starting now.
Dough can also mean money. I'm not sure why currency is referred to as dough. Maybe you do. If you do, why not?
Paul challenge.
Repetition of you do.
If you do, you do. Right, Paul, you've got a correct challenge. You have the subject of dough and 37 seconds starting now.
In one of Charlie Chaplin's early Keystone films, Dough and Dynamite, dough is used as one of the great props of slapstick comedy. Its very nature, being stretchy and a bit tenuous and you can stick it to things, makes it ideal to be chucked across the silver screen and hitting some rather verbose, fat individual with a rather large moustache.
Julian Janet.
Repetition of rather.
Yeah, there's too many rathers there, Paul. 18 seconds, Julian, on dough, starting now.
When I was a teenager, my buns were the talk of Camden Town. Even now, on special occasions, I have been known to pop one in the oven, and 20 minutes later, I pull it out. Well, it's done to a turn. If you open the window, the scent carries right down the road, and people come from miles around.
Right. So, Julian Clare was speaking as a whistle when gained that extra point, but he didn't eclipse our leader. But out in the lead, yes, quite a few points out in the lead, was Graham Norton. So, Graham, we say you are the winner this week. So you can see how this game shilly-shallies back and forth. Because the last time we had these four players in one show, Graham finished in fourth place.
Yes, oh, don't go on about it.
No, but it just
people might have forgotten. They've moved on.
No, it just shows... You were on song today. You were outstanding. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. It only remains for me to say thank you to these four fine, humorous, delightful players of the game, Paul Merton, Julian Clary, Terry Wogan and Graham Norton. I thank Sarah Sharp, who's helped me with the score, blown her whistle so delicately. We thank Talusha Galani, who is our producer, and we're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. We're grateful to this lovely audience here in the Radio Theatre, in Broadcasting House, for cheering us on our way. Their warmth has inspired us. We feel happy. And if you're happy, then we hope our listeners have been happy. And from me, Nicholas Parsons, thank you for tuning in. Be with us the next time we play Just a Minute!